Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Wednesday, June 10th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news as outfielder Ronald Acuña Jr. was placed on the 10-day IL with a hamstring strain. This is the second time Acuña will spend time on the injured list with a hamstring strain. He missed 2 weeks in May with a grade one strain, and the hope is that this strain requires a similar length of absence for Acuña. In his absence, outfielder Mike Yastrzemski will shift from left field to right field, carrying his platoon with Eli White to replace Acuña, while Mauricio Dubon takes over in left field. And in a corresponding transaction, first baseman Rowdy Tellez was selected from the minors. In other Braves injury news, reliever Tyler Kinley was placed on the 15-day IL with elbow inflammation. Reliever Carlos Carrasco was also designated for assignment. And in a corresponding move, starting pitcher J.R. Richie was recalled for the minors. Richie will likely pitch in a swingman role unless, for some reason, Martin Perez starts to regress and is removed from the rotation. Then we could see Richie transition from the bullpen to the rotation. But for now, he's a swingman. And we also saw the return of reliever James Karinchak, who was selected from the minors. Karinchak hasn't appeared in the majors since 2023. He was an elite reliever for the Guardians for a short period of time, but he seemed to figure something out in the minors this year, pitching to a 2.45 ERA with a 38% strikeout rate and a very solid 10% walk rate for someone who has historically had zero control. So James Karinchak back in the majors with the Braves. Next, reliever Matt Brash was placed on the 15-day IL with a lat strain. Lat strains can be difficult for pitchers to recover from, so I'd expect Brash to miss more than the minimum time with this injury. Reliever Domingo Gonzalez was recalled for the minors in a corresponding move, but Jose Ferrer will be the top setup option for the Mariners until Brash returns. Reliever Tyler Gilbert was placed on the 15-day IL by the White Sox with a shoulder impingement, and reliever Chris Murphy was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. Outfielder O'Neill Cruz was placed on the 10-day IL with a fractured hand, and it's actually multiple fractures in his hand, as Cruz fractured the fourth and fifth metacarpals in his hand. So Cruz will miss at least the next month with that injury. Outfielder Billy Cook was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move, but Jake Mangum will take over in center field, allowing Tyler Callahan to take over the strong side of a right field platoon with Billy Cook. And next, we have outfielder Kyle Isbell, who was placed on the 10-day IL with plantar fasciitis. Isbell is likely to miss 2 to 4 weeks. In a corresponding move, outfielder Cameron Mizner was recalled from the minors. Mizner's a former top prospect who hasn't appeared in the majors this season. He's batted .276 with 13 homers, 11 steals, and a 132 WRC plus as a 28-year-old at AAA, but strikeouts continue to be an issue for Cameron Mizner. He will likely be on the strong side of a center field platoon for the Royals, with Lane Thomas on the short side. And lastly, catcher Sebastian Rivero was placed on the 10-day IL with the hamate fracture. Rivero is likely to miss 4 to 6 weeks with that injury. He's been the Angels' backup catcher to Logan Ohapi. And in a corresponding move, we'll have another catching Logan join the Angels roster, as Logan Porter was selected from the minors, and he'll be the new backup catcher for the Angels. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Max Scherzer was activated from the 15-day IL to start versus the Phillies. He missed over a month with forearm tendonitis and ankle inflammation, but did not look very strong in his return. 3 1/3 innings, 5 hits, 5 earned, 3 walks, and 4 Ks with 13 whiffs, 24% CSW across 82 pitches. But Scherzer reached a very impressive milestone as he recorded his 3,500th strikeout of his career, 3,500 strikeouts for Max Scherzer. He's the 11th pitcher in MLB history to reach that mark, and he's now just 12 strikeouts shy of tying Walter Johnson for 10th on the all-time strikeouts leaderboard, and he's in shouting distance of Gaylord Perry at 9th all-time if he records 31 more strikeouts after this start. So Max Scherzer looking like he's guaranteed to go to the Hall of Fame with the strikeouts he's amassed throughout his career. Reliever Connor Siebold was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. And lastly, starting pitcher Jake Bennett was recalled for the minors to start in Tampa Bay. He tossed 5 innings, allowing 7 hits and 4 earned runs, walking one while striking out 4. He induced 10 whiffs with 25% CSW across 73 pitches. And Bennett's changeup command was solid, leading to 4 whiffs and 30% CSW on the slow ball. But his fastballs were hittable in the zone, as 4 seamers and sinkers accounted for 6 of the 7 hits that he allowed. Bennett will stick in the rotation with Brian Bayo in the minors, and he's going to get the Blue Jays in his next start. Reliever Alec Gamboa was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And in terms of the news, closing pitcher Ryan Helsley will begin a rehab assignment today. He's been recovering for over a month from elbow inflammation. Helsley could return next week, which could put Rico Garcia out of a closer job. And lastly, catcher Will Smith is expected to be placed on the 10-day IL with neck soreness. It will likely be backdated, allowing Smith to return in just a week. But in the meantime, catcher Dalton Rushing will fill in behind the plate in a full-time capacity, while catcher Chucky Robinson is expected to be selected from the minors in a corresponding move to be the Dodgers' backup catcher. Now we can take a look at our notable performances from Wednesday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with third baseman Matt Chapman, who helped the Giants to win against the Nationals, going 4-for-5 with 3 runs, a double, 2 home runs, and 3 runs batted in. He's up to 6 homers on the year now. The first one traveled 421 feet at 107 miles per hour, and the second one 409 feet at 101 miles per hour. And it's been a rough season for Matt Chapman, but he seems to be turning around this month with 5 of his 6 homers coming in June alone, and we're only 10 days into the month. Chapman's also batting 469 during the month of June as well, and it's supported by improved plate discipline as he's walking more than he's striking out. The StatCast metrics are still unimpressive, especially for the precedent that he set in the past, but I think Chapman will get back to being an above average hitter moving forward, and he should be rostered in pretty much every league as things currently stand. Next, outfielder Tyler Callahan helped the Pirates to win against the Dodgers, going 2-for-2 with 3 runs, 2 home runs, 4 runs batted in, and 2 walks for good measure. They were the first 2 home runs of Callahan's career, and the first one went 427 feet at 107 miles per hour, and the second one 394 feet at 101 miles per hour. Callahan was called up just a couple weeks ago, and he didn't get a shot to start for 8 games before getting a couple of starts at the hot corner earlier this week. But with the injury to O'Neill Cruz, Callahan has been thrust into action on the strong side of a right field platoon, and he immediately had the best game of his young career. Callahan was acquired from the Reds in May of 2025 in exchange for Kyle Nicholas, and is currently the Pirates' number 29 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. And the soon-to-be 26-year-old struck out a lot at AAA and didn't really produce offensively, so there's not much supporting a potential breakout after this game. Maybe the lefty makes enough contact to be a super deep league relevant player because of his positional versatility and the potential of his power speed combo. But other than this multi-homer game, there's nothing supporting standard league relevancy for Tyler Callahan. And lastly, third baseman Caleb Durbin did all he could, but the Red Sox lost in Tampa. He went 3-for-4 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, and 2 runs batted in. He's up to 3 homers on the year now. The first one went 415 feet at 108 miles per hour, and the second one 388 feet at 101 miles per hour. Durbin has been the worst hitter in baseball this year, but the Red Sox keep sending him out to the hot corner, and that's a good thing. He's a great defender, because otherwise the 48 WRC plus with which he entered play on Wednesday would have him in the minors. He locked in yesterday, tripling his home run total with the first multi-homer game of his career. It was definitely a notable departure from the weekly hit grounders Durbin's produced all year. His first homer also set a max exit velocity for the year, and there's hope that this game gets his confidence back, allowing him to turn things around. But that's about all we got to go off of for Durbin, as there's nothing pointing to him getting back on track. I think we can continue to sit back and stay away from Durbin until he proves otherwise. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Wednesday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Drew Rasmussen, who helped the Rays to win against the Red Sox, tossing 7 shutout innings, allowing just 2 hits and 1 walk while striking out 13. He induced 20 whiffs with 36% CSW across 97 pitches and earned the Golden Goal, as those 20 whiffs led baseball to earn him the Gallows Pole, and he earned the King Cole by leading baseball with that 36% CSW. This was a career high 13 strikeouts for Rasmussen. His previous career high was 10 back in September. September of 2022, and the driving force wasn't his developing changeups, but a Red Sox lineup susceptible to his trio of fastball variants, namely cutters at 9 whiffs, 45% CSW and 5 strikeouts, and four-seamers at 8 whiffs, 43% CSW and 5 strikeouts. Rasmussen is an auto start moving forward, even heading to Hollywood next. Next, we've got Reed Detmers, who helped the Angels to win against the Astros, tossing 7 innings of one-run ball. He allowed just one hit, walking nobody while striking out 9, inducing 11 whiffs with 35% CSW across 89 pitches. This was more fastball slider domination from Detmers, and it's promising to see him get his slider feel back in check after a brief lapse. I'm skeptical he can maintain his slider feel all season, nor survive with just 2 pitches without support from curveballs or changeups. But while he's cooking like this, I think we got to keep riding with Detmers in Arizona next. He's 5th in MLB with 97 strikeouts, and that's a 29% strikeout rate through 14 starts from Detmers, and we'll take that all day. Next, we have George Kirby, who did all he could, but the Mariners lost in Baltimore. He tossed 6 innings, allowing 7 hits and 3 earned runs, walking 3 while fanning 10. He induced 13 whiffs with 30% CSW across 104 pitches. And we've been waiting for a start in which Kirby displays his potential, especially amid recent struggles. Well, he blew his season high of 7 Ks out of the water with a double-digit punch-out performance here, but there wasn't a notable change in his locations to suggest he figured something out. The Orioles were a bit too passive, allowing Kirby to steal 16 called strikes with sinkers and sweepers alone, and he was lucky to rack up 10 Ks with just 13 whiffs thanks to a 59% put-away rate that is far north of his 40% mark on the season. The luck didn't all go Kirby's way as he allowed a 500 BABIP, but we'll take the ERA and strikeouts every time. I'd still be buying low on Kirby. The upside is clearly still there, and his command and stuff are too good for him to be struggling like he has been. It's an easy start in a rematch versus the Orioles next. And lastly, we have Brandon Young, who helped the Orioles to win against the Mariners, tossing 7 scoreless innings, allowing just 2 hits and 2 walks while striking out 5. He induced 11 whiffs with 30% CSW across 88 pitches, and our backup streamer of the day came through. Surprisingly, Young's signature heater wasn't the pitch that carried him. Yeah, it avoided damage in the zone with 73% strikes, but it was slower splitters and whiff heavy sliders that propelled him to the great performance. The splitter paired well with 4 seamers upstairs to lefties, inducing a trio of whiffs with 32% CSW, while sliders were super consistent in the pitch movement department and the locations downstairs to right-handed batters, returning 6 whiffs and 43% CSW. Young was lucky to go 16 for 18 on outs on balls in play, but it's super promising to see his secondaries step up. That's really all he needs to take his game to another level because of how dope his four-seamer is at 94 miles per hour with 18 inches of IVB. He's already produced a 3.04 ERA in 10 starts this year, so there's certainly potential for a higher ceiling if Young can keep the feel that he had for splitters and sliders in this one. And I'm down to do this again in a rematch in Seattle up next. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Wednesday, check out the Give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Garrett Clevenger worked around a solo shot for his second save. Brian Baker was unavailable after pitching on back-to-back days. Gregory Soto worked around a 2-run homer for his 9th save of the year. Yoendris Gomez worked around a run for his 5th save of the year, and it's clear that he's just the clear-cut closer for the Twins right now as they've gone away from the closer committee they held for the first two months of the season and are now relying on Gomez exclusively in the 9th inning. Yoan Duran recorded his 17th save with a scoreless 9th. Jacob Latz had a scoreless 10th for his 10th save. Brian Hudson had a hitless 9th for his 3rd save. Sir Anthony Dominguez pitched a perfect 8th for his 2nd hold in that one. And I'm not sure what the White Sox plan is for the 9th inning right now. Is the committee with guys like Hudson, Sean Newcomb, and Dominguez and Taylor all mixing in? Is it Taylor's role altogether and he was just unavailable today after pitching 2 innings on Tuesday? And honestly, what did Dominguez do to lose his role? He's been very solid all year. Hopefully these questions are answered this weekend. And lastly, Elvis Alvarado recorded his first save with a perfect 9th. He's certainly my favorite option to target if you're looking for saves in that A's bullpen moving forward. In terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Gus Varland allowed 3 runs in the 9th with a 4-run lead before Mitchell Parker came in and served up a walk-off grand slam to Bryce Eldridge to blow his 5th save and take his 3rd loss. A note on that Bryce Eldridge grand slam, he became the youngest player ever with a walk-off grand slam, an incredible blast there from the left-handed hitting prospect for the Giants. Alex Lang pitched the 10th and allowed two runs, one of which was the zombie runner scoring, and he ended up taking his third loss. Antonio Senzatella served up a game-tying solo homer to blow his third save, but he earned his sixth win when the Rockies walked it off against Daniel Palencia, who allowed a run pitching the ninth in a tie game to take his first loss. Trevor Megill pitched a scoreless eighth with the Brewers trailing by one. The Brewers are off today, and Megill hadn't pitched since last Friday, so this was a maintenance outing for Trevor Megill. And lastly, Josh Hader pitched a perfect ninth in a tie game that the Astros would go on to lose in 10 innings. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before I look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Thursday, June 11th, a day in which we'll have just eight games on the slate. Let's look at our relievers to watch as Sir Anthony Dominguez has pitched on back-to-back days. So Grant Taylor will be the go-to option for the White Sox if a save opportunity arises. There's plenty of relievers that are going to be off today, but that's mostly because the pitchers are off today. Next, we have Alex Lang, who's pitched on back-to-back days, but so has Daniel Lynch. And so we should expect Lucas Erceg to be the go-to option for the Royals if a save arises. I know I've talked so much about how terrible Lucas Erceg is, but with Daniel Lynch and Alex Lang both unavailable, Lucas Erceg is our best option. And lastly, Antonio Senzatella has pitched on back-to-back days, and that means Juan Mejia should be the go-to option for the Rockies. Now let's head back and look at our starters as our auto start tier has Brian Wu against the Orioles, and our probably starts tier has our streamer of the day in Christian Scott versus the Cardinals. He was scheduled to take on the Cardinals on Wednesday, but he got pushed here to Thursday, and I think that extra rest will definitely do him some good. And Scott has been very solid this year. He hasn't really shown the upside we want from him, but against a Cardinals lineup that isn't super spectacular and probably doesn't do great against right-handed pitchers, I think Scott should do pretty well. If you're looking for a backup streamer, we can look at Kumar Rocker in Kansas City. He's not my favorite, but he's been looking a little better recently because he's going BSB. He's going fastballs up and breakers down, and that has allowed him to find more sustainable success, in my opinion. So that's definitely a start to target if Christian Scott is unavailable in your league. If we're looking at any other starters, there aren't many, as it's a short slate on Thursday, but I think that's going to do it for the starters, and that's going to do it for this episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. Carson Pickard will be with you tomorrow and throughout the weekend, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.